the world leader in Internet Talk Radio. Internet Talk Radio. You're listening to America's Voice, voiceamerica.com. Passionate Talk Radio with Dr. Pat Basile, crust-busting your way to an awesome life on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Welcome to Crust-Busting Your Way to an Awesome Life with me, Dr. Pat Basile. We are coming to you live to bring you stories of people like you and me who are busting through to their unlimited possibilities. Right about now, you may be asking, what is crust? Crust is what keeps you stuck. It is anything you think, feel, or believe that prevents you from living life full out. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. Yes, guess who I am? I am Pat Basile, Dr. Pat, Peachy Pat, whatever you all have, come up with for a name for
Pistol
me.
Pistol Pat and Patty!
That would be it too. And the show is called Crust Busting. This is the show. Ooh. But thank you anyway for calling me.
Yes.
So if you sign up for my newsletter, it's a different newsletter, and thank you for asking me to mention that today. And we'll get some more information out about the newsletter and our guests. But what I want to say is that, our theme this year is Thrive in 05, and today I'm having my third interview of the day with an amazing individual, Denise Lynn. And I've read her book. I have it here. We're going to talk about it. The theme this year is Thrive in 05. And Denise, as with the other two people I interviewed this morning, Sonia Choquette and Debbie Ford, will be at the I Can Do It conference. And I Can Do It is such a powerful mindset that Denise is going to talk with us today about how that attitude got her to this very moment and to writing this amazing book, How My Death Saved My Life and Other Stories on My Journey to Wholeness. And I have to tell you, this is an amazing book. It is uplifting and inspiring. And I so honor Denise for sharing her story, her truth, her journey for each and every one of us that get faced with the I can't word, the word that would have us cripple us in any sense of it. And I want to just say, Denise, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
What an incredible story. I have so many questions to ask you. And as I said in the introduction, I so honor your courage for being able to sit down and write this story. And yet on one hand, I understand from reading it that there was no alternative really, was there?
To writing the book?
Yeah.
It actually was one of the most painful things I'd ever done, because it meant, I think when you write a memoir, and the book is, I wrote about some of the experiences I had in my life, it means revisiting your past. And in my case, I had a past that was, I just had some really challenging times as a child particularly. And to write about it meant going back and remembering things that I tried to forget. So from that aspect, it was really, really hard, and there were a lot of times where I thought it was really not a good idea. But on the other hand, there was such healing, and as anyone knows who has gone back in their own life and really examined, the circumstances that created them to be the way they are, you learn so much and you understand so much that actually it puts you in a much stronger place in the present.
And for those of you that are tuning in, let me just say, we are here today with Denise Lynn. We're talking about her new book, her latest book, How My Death Saved My Life and Other Stories. We're going to be talking about a number of other things. But what I'd like to say to you, if you'd like to join us and take a peek at what's happening here and all of the other things that Denise has done, why don't you join us at www.denise.com and take a look look at all of the other amazing books and stories and soul coaching and any number of other amazing gifts and blessings that she is taking out into the world. You know, Denise, there's a question that I ask each and every one of my guests, and I'm going to ask you this question as well, to give our folks a sense of what this journey was like. And the question came to me from one of my listeners, and my show is called Crust Busting, and a crust is that stuff, you know, that anything you think, feel, or believe that stops you from living life full out. And so in the world, you know, as you sit here in this moment with us, you know, the question I would ask you, you know, what are some of the challenges? What are the challenges and obstacles? What is some of the crust that you had to bust through to bring you to this very moment?
Well, first of all, I love that term. I hadn't heard it before, crust busting, and I love it. I think it's perfect for what that experience is. And there has been so much. I would say one of the hardest things to bust out of, using your words, is the people-pleasing syndrome. And I think a child when they're growing up, and especially if they're growing up in a traumatic or, abusive situation, chooses a number of different modalities just to survive. And sometimes a child will rebel, or sometimes they'll withdraw, or some children will become people pleasers. And that's what I did. And I really sacrificed so much of my own soul's needs during my life to get approval and to get people to like me. And in high school, I was voted nicest, which sounds like a great honor, but actually it means you have to give up a lot to be voted nicest. So there have been a lot of crust, and really thick, deep crust I've had to push through, and I'm still pushing through in some arenas of my life. But I'd have to say that was a really big one.
And, you know, that is something, that's a thread or a theme, isn't it, that just, you know, continues through our life. It doesn't matter what we do or what we face, unless we make a conscious effort to get rid of it. That's kind of like an embedded base of something, isn't it?
It is. And I think the first step is, you know, the soul loves the truth. And the first step is to begin to tell the truth about a negative pattern that you have. And telling the truth, it might not change it right away, but it begins to loosen the hold that it has on you. So the first step was just to admit to myself that I actually was a people pleaser, to admit to myself, some people say an approval whore, but, to admit to myself that that was a part of my personality. And that was probably the biggest step, is admitting it. And then after that, to begin to observe it when it comes up and to make conscious choices. Am I making this choice because I want to meet someone's expectations of me, or is this actually in alignment with my soul's needs? And so that's several steps down the way, but it is a process. It doesn't happen overnight.
You know, you have an incredible journey that you've shared with us, and you know, you're here to talk about it, and you're here, you know, in this world with this I can do it attitude, really touching the lives of so many people with all of that, you know, all that you do. I mean, you have soul coaching, which is unbelievable, and as a matter of fact, people can become soul coaches, can't they?
Absolutely. One of the things that is the most exciting thing in my life right now is I have a training that I train people to be professional life coaches. But I call them soul coaches because one of the things that they learn to do on the certification course is how to take that next step. And the next step is take that person to the realm of the soul and where to find out what is your soul yearn for. It's so easy often, for example, in regular coaching to say, well, what do I want? I want a better job or I want another relationship. And often what our conscious mind wants is, it's kind of what society thinks is best or what our parents think is best. But soul coaching is going deeper, going to that place where you can actually ask the question, what does my spirit yearn for? And what are some steps that I can take to move in that direction? And I find that so fulfilling.
It is fulfilling. I mean, it's interesting that we talked about this earlier today about the whole term crust busting because, you know, for a lot of people, they have that voice that is telling them, hey, look, this is for you to do. This is for you to do. How have you been able to listen to that inner voice to bring out the many, many things that you are doing or have done in the past? What do you do to get in touch with that voice?
Well, one of the things that I do personally and one of the things that I train people to do is go on what I call an inner journey or a soul journey. And that is basically to get very, very quiet. And it's not always easy because our mind is always yammering away at us.
Oh, yeah.
And just to get quiet and still. And I'll often do it as a guided visualization. For myself, I'll visualize or imagine I'm in a place in nature. And I train people how to take people to that place in nature because nature seems to soothe the soul. And once the mind gets quiet, then you can begin to hear what the truth is.
You know, you talk about this in your book. You talk about how you started to write the book on, I think it was December 22nd, I believe 2003?
Right.
Okay, and then the ground literally beneath your feet started to rumble.
I'm a big believer in signs and synchronicities and omens, and maybe that comes from my Native American background. I'm Cherokee on my mother's side,
mm-hmm.
but it's always been important to me. And I also believe in the power of beginnings. So when I wanted to start writing a book about my life, I wanted to choose a special time, and I chose the winter solstice. I felt like in so many ways in my life I'd come out of the darkness into my own light. And I saw the winter solstice at the darkest time of the year as a really good place to start my journey. And on the very day that I just started to write this book, we had a 6.5 earthquake. It was centered very, very close to our house. And in fact, my husband almost potentially could have died. He was on the road in a landslide, on a cliff road in a landslide in front of him. I mean, but we had big cracks in our house, and in feng shui, which is something I've practiced and taught also for a number of years, we equate the house to self. So here in my own home were these enormous cracks in my walls of my home, and it felt like symbolic of the cracking, or what you call the crust busting, that was about to happen as I went and explored my past.
And, you know, we actually have a term in crust busting, so I was really drawn to this. We have a term in crust busting for those moments where things keep opening up, where you can't any longer fight that inner voice that's telling you to take action. We call it a crust quake.
Well, we definitely had a crust quake, and in fact, we had quake after, because if for anyone who's been an earthquake, and I didn't know this before,
yeah.
There's aftershocks, and the aftershocks are often as severe as the original earthquake. And so it was just, the synchronicity was phenomenal. When I would start to write about something that was particularly painful or difficult, almost always at that point, the whole house would start to shake, and I'd dive under the desk. And the synchronicity was phenomenal. It was as if somehow there was a correspondence with the outer world and my inner world. As my inner world was quaking, so my outer world was quaking.
And let's take that conversation to the next level, because this is what you talk about in your book. A lot of times when we feel that rumble, whether it's, you call it a crust quake, or whether it's truly, in your case, a real quake, right, our tendency is to run and hide. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's an expression that I use, if you listen to the whispers, you don't have to hear the screams.
Yes.
And I believe that the universe is always whispering to us. It's always saying, go in this direction. It's our spirit talking to us through the signs and the coincidences and the synchronicities around us, but we don't listen. But what happens is if we don't hear those initial whispers, eventually, I believe that we do hear the screams, and in my case, the scream was an actual earthquake. But for some, the screams might be, you know, a disease or a divorce or an illness. But it's something that's saying, wake up, take a look. You know, there's something you need to look at.
You know, Denise, I want to say that I've read your book, and you know, clearly in this short period of time, there's not an opportunity to capture the essence of it. So I want to let everybody know that the book that I'm talking about is How My Death Saved My Life by Denise Lynn. And you know, you can get this book and many other books and audio and videos on the amazing work Denise is doing on her website, www.deniselynn.com. What I want to ask you about the book is there's so many circumstances, or in my opinion anyway, so many situations in your life where, you know, you were asked to face your worst nightmare, so to speak. And in every case, you seem to have found a way to do that. The one aspect of this that I want to ask you about, and there are many wonderful stories that really inspired me to take, you know, something that I'm stuck with right now to the next level. But the death that you're talking about was both physically and metaphorically, you know, talked about in the book. Am I correct with
yes.
that? Was the reality of a death and metaphorically as well?
Absolutely. You know, when I was 17, I had a little motorbike, and I went out one summer afternoon. I lived in Ohio. It was a small farm town community. And I was just driving along the between the corn rows on the little country road. And what I didn't know was that I was being followed by a man in a car. It was someone I didn't know. I hadn't done anything to. And suddenly he hit the gas and he rammed hard into my motorbike and knocked me off the side of the road. And I couldn't understand. You know, in those flash moments of something traumatic, everything seems to go so slow. And I thought, why? Why did he hit me? And as I was on the side of the road laying there, I watched him turn around to come back, and I thought, well, he's coming back to help me. But instead, Pat, he rolled down the window, and he pulled out a gun.
Mm.
And I couldn't, it was unreal. I couldn't understand. I mean, this is a farming community in Ohio. People just didn't pull guns on other
right.
people. And suddenly, he pulled the trigger, and I was shot. Eventually, I was found and taken to a hospital, and in the hospital, there was a moment when the doctor said I died, and I remember vividly that moment. I remember leaving my body and entering into this amazing, wonderful, and curiously familiar place. It was this place of golden light and infinite love. There wasn't anything in that place that wasn't love. And the curious thing was that everybody was there. You were there. Everyone I'd ever known, mm-hmm. everyone that was ever going to be was there. And I can't understand this, but I can remember it. We were all one, and yet we were individual. Now, I can't conceive of this now. But at the time, there was this sense of there was no time. There was no past or present. There was just infinite love and infinite light.
Mm-hmm.
And I was home. My life really seemed like a dream up to that point. And there was a river of light, and I knew if I crossed that river, that was it. I would be truly home. And I got about halfway through the river, and I got roped, or that's what I thought it was. Anyway, on my Cherokee side, my family was involved in the rodeo. So as a kid, I got to be the practice cow for my cousins in the roping. And I think it was probably an astral cord is what people say. But I got yanked back into my body as I heard a voice say, it's not your time. There's some things you need to do. And the body I got back into was really damaged. I lost a kidney, a spleen, an adrenaline, half of a lung, part of my intestines, part of my stomach. There's a bullet hole still to this day through my spine. I have a 6-inch tube replacing the aorta. The doctor said she will never live. But I did, and I believe that just that glimpse of that other side ignited an ember, and it's an ember that everybody has inside of them. It's an ember of remembering who we are. And that did, that event, as traumatic as it was and frightening as it was, in a lot of ways it did save my life, because to see that other realm really helped me understand so much of what I'd gone through in my early childhood years. And it really started me on a odyssey or a journey to understand more about that place, a journey that took me around the world, that took me to train and study with Native cultures around the world, a journey that, even more important than that, allowed me to glimpse into that divine within myself, that divine that's within all things and all beings.
Mm. You know, sometimes people get that sort of prompting, let's call it, that sort of, hey,
I call it a cosmic kick.
Yes, yeah, I was being kind. I'm like you. I needed to get a big boot, you know what I'm saying? One of these cement boots right in the butt to pay attention. You know, so you and I are kind of in that category. But, you know, and that's because I think for me, and I don't know if this was true for you, I mean, we both come from early childhood experiences. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we get these sort of, you know, reminders by the brush of a feather. But I've never been really good at paying attention to that. I'm getting better. You know what I'm saying? It's the big old cement boot in the butt that sort of got my attention. You have taken all of your experience, and it's in this book as well as in the work that you do, and you've taken your gift now out into the world. And from what I, you know, my understanding in sort of following, you know, your work, you have other work that you started out doing. What was your first sort of launch to take your gift out into the world? What was it that happened that you said, wait a minute, you know what, I've got this gift, I've got this thing I want to talk about?
Thank you for asking. I've been teaching for 35 years, and the very first, I guess what you call the step out, was I wanted to understand more about healing because of all the severe damage that had occurred for my body. And I began to be drawn to healers, but not doctors, but people who, usually they were old people from various cultures, ancient cultures and native cultures. I wanted to understand what is their knowledge about healing, because whenever I saw doctors, they just said it was a miracle I was alive, but not to expect to live very long, and I should be incapacitated or I had a limited life expectancy, so that wasn't very encouraging. And as I began to train, I trained with a Hawaiian kahuna, and I trained with a shiatsu practitioner, and with medicine men and medicine women from various cultures, as my body began to move from strength to strength, people said, well, can you do for us what you're doing for yourself? And so I began to work as a healer, and I found I had a gift for it. So my very first and initial kind of stepping into working with others was through healing, and it was something that gave me an immense amount of joy.
What I wanted to ask you is this, because this is something I think our listeners who, we have so many wonderful people that listen to the show, Denise, I just want to say this, they're amazing, and, you know, their journeys are incredible, and they're at places, different places in their lives where they have an idea of something to do, and what I would love for you to share with them is, once you decided to take your healing work out there, what was that first experience like for you?
Well, I think, you know, it's funny, I'm working on a new book called Everything I Know I Learned the Hard Way.
Yeah. Boy, is that a goodie.
And literally what I was writing right when we started this interview was, I was talking about that feeling, I guess there's a word for it now, called the imposter syndrome.
Yes, right. We've labeled it.
But that feeling of I'm a fake, and I'm an imposter, and, you know, what are all these people doing here? And if they only knew that, I don't really know that much. My healing work accelerated very quickly, and in a very short time, I was booked for almost a year as a healer. And from that came seminars, and my seminars expanded really quickly to where I was eventually working with 2,000 people a month. And at the same time, I kept thinking, like, I was terrified people would find out that I didn't really know what I was doing, that I wasn't really good, that I wasn't worthy. And every time I'd stand behind that curtain and look at, you know, I taught in 19 countries, and I'd look at the people out there, and they looked so expectant, and I was terrified, because I thought, what if they find out that I'm an imposter? What if they find out that I really don't know what I'm doing? What if they find out that this was just luck that I got here? And it took me a long time to work through that. And the way I did it was, first of all, I did what I call the what-if process. And the what-if process is, what's the worst that can happen? And I thought, the worst that can happen is everybody in the world will think I'm an imposter. And I thought of, and will think that, you know, I'm a fake. And I thought of other people who had gone through really devastating, publicly humiliating experiences and somehow survived and even thrived afterwards. And I hope that would never happen, but it was important, I think, to confront the worst, because often when we don't, we're stuck in that place of fear. And the other thing I did is I thought, you know what, it actually doesn't matter, because as long as my work is getting results and as long as people are getting value, and in the beginning I was doing healing seminars and a lot of people had spontaneous healings, and I thought, as long as people who have cancer leave and it's in remission or even gone, as long as there, and there were people that couldn't walk that could walk, and people, there were a woman who couldn't see who got her eyesight back, and I thought, you know what, it doesn't matter what I think. I'm spending too much time focusing on my own lack of worthiness, and I should instead be focusing on results. So those two, I don't know, perspectives really helped me. First of all, just get over it. You know, maybe, you know, maybe you're not worthy. Maybe you don't know as much as some of the people in the audience. Maybe it was just a fluke that you're here, but the truth is you're here. And the truth is, make a difference and make a contribution and quit worrying about whether you're worthy or not. So that was one thing that helped. And the other thing was just facing my fear of what the worst that could happen was. So that was and has been, I think, one of the greatest hurdles I've had to overcome in my work.
Thank you so much for sharing that, you know, because that is really inspiring for everyone out there that's listening, for everyone to hear, is that we get faced with stuff, and what you have demonstrated is an I can do it attitude. We're going to take a short break. We're talking with Denise Lynn, and we're talking about many, many things, but I'd invite you to take a look at our website, www.deniselynn.com. Many, many things here, and also her book, How My Death Saved My Life and Other Stories on My Journey to Wholeness. We're going to open up the phone lines after the break. And Benny, if you want to give out that number, if you're out there, you've got a question for Denise and would like to hear more about this, you can join us right now. This is free. That's what I love about this show.
We love free stuff.
Don't we just, I mean, where can you go and get this kind of great stuff? This is wonderful to really have someone like Denise be here right with you and be sharing her journey and for you to be able to come on and have a conversation. That's why we open up the phone lines. That's why Denise does the work that she does.
Absolutely.
So let's take a short break, Benny, and give out those phone numbers.
Sure.
Annette's waiting on the line.
She is. 425-373-5527 is the local and long-distance number here in the Seattle area, 425-373-5527, or my favorite, toll-free, 1-888-298-5569. Again, that number is 1-888-298-5569.
And I'm plugged in, live at crustbusting.com. You can send an email, and we'll get your question on the air. Stay tuned. I'm Dr. Pat Basile. I'm here with Denise Lynn and...
Producer Benny.
All right, we'll be right back.
So I can see the rolly bay, early later in the corner booth, raising up a toast, so I would notice you. But your heart can dance, think you ought to know. Doesn't matter if you're born or not.
Absolutely. All that matters is how you know, that you treat me right. That is about how you treat yourself right. And in this world, you know, we meet people that are changing the vibration on this planet. You know, we get to meet people that come into our lives, people like Denise Lynn, who show up and it's clear that what they are doing is they're here to uplift, elevate us, to get into that true place of soul living. And today's show is with Denise Lynn. We're talking about her book, How My Death Saved My Life and Other Stories. And, you know, I want to say that, please, you can go into the website, www.deniselynn.com. Take a look at this. Take a look at the Soul Coaching Retreat, which is also fabulous. Denise, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been my joy.
I would like to talk about this idea of I can do it. You know, we hear a lot of the slogans, you know, Nike, just do it. I can do it. That's about knocking the T off the word can't, isn't it?
You know, there's a Japanese expression that I just love, and it's called knock down seven, get up eight. And I love it because it is inevitable in life that, you know, things, circumstances, people are going to knock you down. And I know it's a trite, but it's a true saying that I'm not a failure if I fall down. I'm only a failure if I stay down. And those are kind of like mantras I use for myself in those days when I feel like, oh, God, I have really blown it or I've failed. I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, I'm only a failure if I stay down. Life knocked me down, but I'm getting up again. And I have to tell you a secret that it's not really a secret, but for me, when I first found out about it, it was a secret. is one of the ways that I get into that I can do it attitude is I use my body.
Mm-hmm.
I found that if you look at the physiology of someone who's defeated, who can't do it, their physiology, the way they hold their body is you can tell just by looking at them that they are defeated even before they start. And when you look at the body, the physiology of someone who has that indomitable spirit, their body tells you that, that that's the way they're feeling. And solely by shifting my physiology, I can actually shift my state of mind. And it's interesting. They did research at a mental hospital, and they took people that were chronically depressed, and they had them put their body in what's called a peak state. You know, they put their arms over their head, they lifted their eyes up, they threw their shoulders back, and they found that it was physically impossible for people to feel depressed when their body was in a state of someone who was confident. And conversely, if you put your body in a state of, you know, you throw your shoulders forward, you hang your head,
mm-hmm.
you loop everything, it's almost impossible to feel powerful and strong and confident. So it's kind of something I'm working with in my seminars and also working with in my life, is the power of using your body. And it's such an easy thing because it doesn't cost anything. And sometimes I have to put music on to do it, too. But it will put you into that I-can-do-it state just by using your body.
And, you know, I want to ask you about that because that is important. And it's not a major thing. I mean, we can actually teach ourselves, right, ourselves to catch ourselves, right, in the moment and make a small adjustment. That's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Absolutely. When you find you start to have those defeated thoughts, I'm never going to, it's never going to work, this always happens to me.
And that's the crusty stuff.
Yeah, and it's human. I mean, if you're on the planet, it's human to have those thoughts. But to immediately, when you catch yourself, shift your body, stand up, throw a fist in the air, and work with your thoughts as well. You know, you find that, oh, why does this always happen to me? Then immediately shift it to, I deserve the best in life, or miracles always happen to me, or immediately put in a positive thought. And I found that there's also, using your body, a really amazing way to magnify the power of affirmation. And that is to actually say an affirmation out loud and use your body while you're doing it. And we have a ranch here where I do our retreat seminars, and I get the people who come for the certification course to actually walk up the hill, a big hill on the back of the land, and to shout their affirmations while they're moving their body.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go, oh, God, that's so stupid. I'm not going to do that. But when they finally do it, they find that it's almost like an alchemy begins to occur within them. You know, my body is getting stronger and stronger, healthier and healthier. And when you move your body while you say the words and you move it in a way that is strong and healthy, it gives a powerful message to your subconscious mind. Or I'm enjoying myself more and more in every day. But if you say it out loud and move your body, it's a lot more powerful than just affirming, you know, I'm enjoying my life every day. You know, there's value in that, but it's a lot more powerful and it's magnified when you use your body.
You've got to have that passion. What I do on the show is what I call a countdown.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Let's do it. We go on the count of three. Let's talk about the affirmation we want, and what we do is Let's do exactly what you're saying. Let's decide on what the affirmation is, if you will, Denise. Pick.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say you come up with one. Let's see. You come up with one. What can we? Okay.
You know what I like?
What's that?
I fully experience each moment.
I love that.
Do you like that one?
I love that.
Because
okay.
That's what I'm, when I, you know, talking with you, that's what I feel. I feel like, you know, every moment we have spent on the air, I'm fully experiencing it. I know the people are doing the same. And what we want to do here is, you know, and tell us, you know, tell us how we could use our body with this now.
Okay, so I'm going to do it too. I'm going to stand up.
Okay, me too.
Down.
Me too.
I'm standing up. I'm throwing my shoulders back. And if you're listening, I know it might seem silly, but, you know, what do you have to lose? So stand up.
The show's called Crust Busting.
Right.
Let's just bust through the silly thing.
Okay, yeah, so the silly thing. Okay, weight is fully on each foot. We're not leaning our hip on one side or the other. Let's eyes up, looking up, maybe even put a hand or two up in the air.
All right, I'm with you.
Okay, you're doing it too?
You got me.
Okay, now I don't want to I don't want to break any speakers, okay?
So I will
move my voice away from the microphone.
Okay.
But when you count down, I'm going to yell too. So what are we yelling at?
Yeah.
This moment. Okay.
That's it. We are going to be getting on it. Let me get Benny and Annette in here because we have a way to control the sound.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about busting anything. If you've heard how loud I've raised the level on this show, I'm telling you, we got the best technology going here. We're going to get everybody. Okay, everybody gets to do this, right? And, you know, we are all going to participate in the countdown, we're moving our, use your hands, and I fully experience each moment.
Okay.
Three times we do it. Benny, you're the countdown guy.
All right, I fully experience each movement.
Moment.
I got to get this right. See, I got to write this down.
He does, you know.
I fully experience each moment.
That's
got it?
It?
All right.
Okay.
On three. Three times now. One, two, three.
I fully experience each moment. And so it is. I feel good.
So it is.
Oh,
bring
my
it on.
Goodness. Yes, that feels good. Oh, I needed that today. Thank you, Denise. Thank you. Didn't we all need that today?
I so needed that.
I know you did.
Look at me. From when I walked in here.
Tell us about how that feels, Annette. I mean, right? Isn't this like the most awesome thing?
Yes, because, you know, just like you said at the beginning of that, like Denise said at the beginning of the show, our lunch. I was cutting a commercial, obviously. Our soul loves the truth. And what that was is, that was the truth. My soul opened up because this is the truth. To enjoy each moment. Right on.
Oh, that was well said. What a good team we have here. Now, I would like to invite each and every one of you out there, a little soul coaching from Denise. 425-373-5527. You want some help? You want some healing? You want to just fully experience each moment? This is the time to call in and get some conversation going with it. 425-373-5527 or
1-888-298-5569. Again, that's 1-888-298-5569.
You know, Denise, I want to talk to you about the latter part of the book. And the book that we're talking about, for those of you who just tuned in, we're talking with Denise Lynn. We're talking about How My Death Saved My Life. You know what? And we go through that dark side. That dark side is death. Even if, you know, you're out there and you haven't had that kind of experience, that Denise had. Denise, we are talking about death of things, metaphorically as well. In the end, in the afterward, you talk about coming full circle.
Yeah.
I would love for you to share that because this is something that, you know, people really get stuck, this whole idea of forgiveness.
You know, forgiveness, I don't think is easy. If it were easy, everyone would do it.
Don't you think?
It's really, really, really hard. And I think the first step, and sometimes forgiveness isn't real forgiveness, like it's I forgive you. Usually that is not forgiveness. That's you were wrong, but I am a magnanimous one and you are not. So I forgive you. And that to me is not true forgiveness. True forgiveness is acceptance. And one of the distinctions that helped me a lot was realizing that I didn't have to forgive the act. I could forgive the person because there are some acts that I just, you know, to me almost seem unforgivable. And my father, when my mother went into a mental hospital for being paranoid schizophrenic, and so when I was living with my father, he was sexually abusive. And I don't forgive the sexual abuse of children. I think it's unforgivable.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized that I could forgive the person, even if I didn't forgive the act, that made an enormous difference to me.
Yes.
Because I began to understand that every person does what they do because of their upbringing, because of their programming, because of, you know, a whole number of reasons. And that if, you know, if possibly my lack of forgiveness could harm the people who harmed me, maybe there was some, you know, vindication in it. But the truth is that anyone you don't forgive, any resentment that you harbor, resentment is like being mad at someone and poisoning yourself.
We got to remember that line. Being mad at someone and poisoning yourself.
So when I realized that there was absolutely no goodness or no value in my resentment and my anger at my father. I was only poisoning myself by it. Then I began to take steps towards forgiving him. And the most amazing thing happened is I kept thinking that someday he would ask for my forgiveness. Someday he would say, I'm really, really sorry for what I did. And I got a call. I was teaching a course, and I got a call that he was dying. And I panicked, and I got on. It took me 3 planes to get there. And I had even visions in my head of this, you know, on his deathbed, he would ask for my forgiveness.
Mm.
He would say, you know, I'm really sorry, and please forgive me. And when I got there, he was dead already. And he was going to be cremated, and I wanted to see his body. And they said, you can't see his body. It's in a warehouse. I said, I want to see his body. Well, it took a bit of urging, but I finally got to go into this warehouse. It's cold, and I just sat there in this cold kind of fluorescent-lit room. And I sat with his body, and I just started to talk to him. And I said, I don't think I even believe this, but I'm going to say the words. And I held his hand. I mean, I touched him. And until that time, I never could even feel, like, I'd never like to be hugged by him. I didn't even want his body close to mine. So it was amazing to hold the hand of my father, finally. And I said these words. I said, I don't think I even believe this, but I'm going to say it, as I forgive you.
Mm.
And in that moment, it was like I heard his voice. The whole room seemed to glow golden. And the voice said, all those years that you were waiting for me to ask for your forgiveness, I was waiting for you to forgive me.
Oh, my goodness. Mm.
And it was incredible.
Mm. Powerful.
It was like everything that I'd harbored, that the resentment and the horror of waking up in the morning in his bed and not being able to tell anyone or do anything about it, and all the subsequent experiences after that, they just dropped away in that moment.
Mm.
That moment of acceptance.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, we have a few. We have some people that would like to talk with you, Denise.
I got carried away.
No, this is. You know what? Thank you so much for sharing that. That is a truth that thousands of people are listening to right now, where they will find the courage to do the exact thing that you did to set them free. And so I appreciate you sharing that. Let's. Who do we have, Benny?
Yep, we're going to go to the phones. We have Rona waiting for us with a question.
Hi, Rona. Welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. I'm sorry, I have laryngitis. I have a bad cold. But anyway, my question is, how do you bring back an aspect of the self that may have been split off due to a great deal of trauma that can come up finally and start undermining your forward movement when you feel you actually were on your path and then you get knocked off of it? But there seems to be just an aspect of the self that just doesn't seem to be able to be healed or brought into the core self.
What is it that you want? The reason I ask this question is,
I'm sorry, what was
often that? Often on our path to wholeness, we start focusing on what we don't want, and that's natural because, you know, we don't want that aspect or that saboteur or that inner critic. And what happens, though, is when you begin to focus on what you don't want, in the strangest way, it empowers it and makes it stronger.
Oh.
One of the things I suggest is start focusing on what you do want.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you focus on what you do want, the more you empower that.
You see what Denise is saying, Rona?
Yes, I do. Sometimes it's a challenge when it seems to, you're right, it has an energy of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Seems very
it's
powerful.
A huge challenge, and I suggest every time it comes up, what I do is I have what I call noble questions, and I think we're always talking to ourselves, and we often talk to ourselves in questions, and so stupid questions are things like, why do I always do this, or why do I always create this, or why does this always happen to
me? Those are crusty questions.
Crusty questions, and what I suggest is every time one of those kind of questions comes up, immediately replace it with a noble question. And a noble question would be, how can I feel even more empowered right now? How can I feel stronger right now? Now, what happens is the subconscious mind doesn't doubt the premise. So if you say, why do I always sabotage my relationships? The subconscious mind doesn't doubt your premise. Oh, you sabotage your relationships because you don't deserve any better. It will come up with answers, but it doesn't question the premise. So if you immediately ask a noble question, how can I have even better relationships,
mm-hmm.
it won't doubt the premise, but it will come up with great answers.
I love that, Denise.
I see.
Isn't that great?
Thank you very much.
Okay, so are you gonna practice a little bit of that then today?
You bet.
Okay. You know, thank you so much for calling. Thank you for sharing that, because that, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there in the same place. There's a lot of people right here in the studio having this. I wrote that down. Okay. Rona, thank you so much for calling in today. Have yourself a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Wow. Thank you, Denise. Let's take Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Just wonderful. We're here with Denise Lynn.
Right. And I realize that there's been a lot of trauma in your life, and for many of us listeners as well. And when that happens, in childhood, it's my understanding that kids will dream and, you know, fantasize about what they want to do and what they want to be. But if you were a person that was traumatized or too busy taking care of your family, you didn't get a chance to dream. So what do you do now when you have some time to relax and allow yourself to dream so you know what your sole purpose is in life here on Earth?
Amy, I'm going to give you a really practical solution that I found works really well for me and works well for a lot of people. And that is, have you ever made a collage before?
Yes.
And they're what I call vision seeding. And they're kind of, basically, it's creating a collage with the intent of finding out what your soul yearns for. And you can do this also with art and art therapy. They do something similar, but I like collaging. And what I suggest is get some magazines, and the best magazines to get are the Oprah magazines because they have great words in them. And get some glue and some scissors and a big poster board and hold the thought or the intent of what do I yearn for? What is my dream? What would really make me happy? And then start pulling pictures out, pull words out, and start put them on the board and then move them around until somehow it feels right, and then paste them down. And when you look at that, when it's done, it will give you a feeling. Once you have that feeling, the feeling might be creativity or satisfaction or love or excitement. Once you have the feeling, then ask yourself, what kind of career, what kind of life, what kind of experiences would give me this same feeling? And that is a really good method to begin to get clear on what your soul is yearning for.
I love that. Amy, did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Isn't that wonderful? It's actually like a really fun thing.
It's really fun. And it's fun if you get friends to do it with you, too.
Ooh, a collage party.
Mm-hmm. So they
would be your vision for the future. And hold on to it, Amy, because you'll be interested to see what happens during the years. I've had so many people say, oh, my gosh, I pulled out my collage, and the things that were on there, they came true. And
absolutely.
It was just like magic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if I invite people to do that with me, it's to concentrate on how they see me, things that they, aspects of my personality or that they like or...
No, have them do it for themselves.
Yeah, have them do their own thing.
Oh, for their own.
Yeah, so put some good music on and just have an enjoyable afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fabulous thing. We actually use I use that in my crust-busting class. I have an 8-week class. And what happens is when we start that process to the very, by the time we get to the end of the 8 weeks, people start to go around and they say, oh, well, wait a minute, I've got to change this. It's already happened, and I've got to change. So that's exactly right, Denise. By the time you get through some of this and you're really playing with it, it's like, oh, wait a minute, I've got to do this. I've actually got that vacation in Hawaii. So, Amy, have fun with this. Yeah, and it's not about her personality, Denise. It's not that kind of exercise, right?
No, it's just, but you can do it for any purpose. You can do it for, I do one at the beginning of each year just to give me a kind of a sense of the coming year. Like, and just, it's almost like it allows, it's a way that your soul can speak to you symbolically. And it's allowing the same way that art can, but I think with art, sometimes people start to think, well, I'm not really good at art. And a collage is something anyone can do. You just tear out pictures and you paste them down.
Yeah.
And what occurs, can be, people look at them and go, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize I put that in that position. I didn't even realize that I put that on there. But they'll look at it and it will give them insights as to their own inner workings. And in this case, what Amy wants for herself in the future, what her dreams are.
Amy, we're going to support you in this.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? You let us know if there's anything we can do to support you. We're going to hold a vibration for you. Going to hold that consciousness for you as you create your dream.
Thank you. Sounds fun and meaningful.
You're awesome, Amy.
Thank you.
Blessings
awesome.
To you, Amy.
You too.
All right. I love that. She's got a name. Awesome Amy. Unbelievable. That was fabulous, Denise. Thank you so much. And, you know, there are so many things that people can do. I want to just mention, again, if you're tuned in late, well, I'm here with Denise Lynn. We're talking about many, many things. But you can go to her website, www.deniselynn.com. You can also get the, you know, her latest book there, you know, which is How My Death Saved My Life and Other Stories on My Journey to Wholeness. And there are other stories in this. Believe me, there are. I would like to ask you, Denise, in the few moments we have left, the message, what I call the crust-busting power tool message, that you would like to leave with our listeners to catapult them into the life that they want to live.
The message I would like to leave is who you are is enough, exactly the way you are. Every experience you've had, every person you've met, even those experiences that you judged as bad or not good were absolutely necessary for you to become who you are now, and who you are now is enough.
Who you are now is enough. If you have to pick a mantra for today, say who I am is enough. Don't you think? Who I am right now is enough. I love that, Denise. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I have really enjoyed my time with you, and I've enjoyed standing up and yelling. That was great.
That felt absolutely fabulous. And we will be seeing you again. Why don't we just let folks know again, you're going to be at the I Can Do It conference.
Absolutely. And that's going to be such an exciting conference. So if you've heard me on this radio station, come up and say hi. I'd love to talk to you.
And, you know, we're going to be there in Las Vegas with a bunch of wonderful, wonderful Hay House folks. And it's just a great time. Louise Hay, Carolyn Mace, Denise Lynn, we're all being there. Thank you so much, Denise, for joining us today and for all of the magnificent work that you're doing and for all that you are. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
Well, thank you all for listening today. What a great show. What a great day. You know what I'm saying? Unbelievable. Can you feel it? I can feel it, Benny. Can you feel it?
Well, when we did that countdown, it just sparked a whole new light.
That
was like my eighth cylinder kicking in right there.
Don't you think?
Oh,
that was
yeah.
an incredible shift. You know what I'm saying? It's all about taking the gift out into the world. I know you're out there. I know you listen to the show because I know you have gifts to give. And if there's anything that you've heard to uplift and inspire you and to have you get out there and know, I can do it. We want to support you in your journey.
Thank you for joining us today for Crust Busting with Dr. Pat Pasilli. Crust Busting with Dr. Pat can be heard live every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time on voiceamerica.com. For a copy of today's program or to learn more about Crust Busting, visit www.crustbusting.com.
Want the truth? Face the facts. This is VoiceAmerica.com. Depend on it.
Real people, real problems, real change. Hear live hypnotherapy radio on Get Your Ship Together with Scott Sulak every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Scott and guests will provide you with the life-changing information, interviews, and insights on how to unleash your hidden potential and live the life you've always imagined. Experience the benefits of hypnotherapy every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time with Scott Sulak on Get Your Ship Together, live hypnotherapy radio on voiceamerica.com.
Would you like to know what your animal kids are actually thinking and feeling? Well, then join Joy Turner and talk with your animals every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America. On the show, we talk about animal communication, life from an animal's point of view, and alternative ways to relating to your wonderful companions. You can even call in and have Joy ask questions of your pets. So be sure to join us for this fun, educational, and definitely unique hour of radio with Joy Turner's Talk with Your Animals the show both you and your pets are going to love. Every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time and rebroadcast at 10 p.m. right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Did you realize that most states in our country consider assisted food and fluids artificial life support? Did you know that food and water could be taken away from you if you suffer a brain injury or a stroke and cannot speak for yourself? Did you know that denying food and fluids causes a patient tremendous physical harm, hallucinations, pain, distress, and seizures before they finally die of dehydration and starvation? And did you know that this can be done to you without your consent? The United States Congress is considering an act that would give disabled and incapacitated Americans federal review protections against such outrageous mistreatment, cruelty, and forced death. You can help. Please visit us online to learn how you can join the fight to save the lives of innocent Americans at terriesfight.org. That's www.terriesfight.org.